Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel reading we read just a few moments ago. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Dear friends in Christ, there's a wonderful thing about a good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. And there's a funny thing about a door. It's two-sided. It has two sides that you can be on. And there's a really blessed thing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is both our good shepherd and the door. And our text today Jesus teaches that he, of course, is the good shepherd. But a few verses earlier, Jesus actually taught that he was the door of the sheep. He says it this way: "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John chapter 10 gives us this really great news that couldn't be as great if it were just one or the other. That Jesus is both the good shepherd who protects his sheep and the door that locks out those who would threaten and harm them. It's a good thing about the good shepherd who's also a door. Basically, it's that there are two sides to that door. On one side of the door, there's grace, there's mercy. There's a good and loving shepherd who actually cares for his sheep. He opens that door to provide food and nourishment. And as he leads his sheep out into green pastures, into streams of living water. But he closes that door to provide protection from all the thieves who would kill and steal and destroy. Protection from hired hands and wolves and thieves. The terms that Jesus uses in our text for those false shepherds. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them." On one side of the door is mercy, but on the other side is judgment. In today's first reading, Peter and John are standing there before the Jewish council, those who really should have been the good shepherds of the house of Israel. But the apostles were on trial because they had been proclaiming the resurrection in the name of Jesus. And I love how they phrased that in there. I don't know if you noticed it or if you took note of it. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They were annoyed because of that. I thought that was a strange choice of wording, that they were greatly annoyed. They were kind of peeved at Peter and John. So what Peter and John have to do is tell them by whose name or in whose authority this man, this crippled man, was healed. And Peter and John tell them very straight, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." Peter goes on to explain that Jesus is the stone that was rejected but has become this cornerstone, and that there is no other name under heaven that's given among men by whom or by which we must be saved. See, some of these same false shepherds had revealed their true colors immediately before our text. In John 9, Jesus had healed a man who was blind from birth. And the Jews, of course, took issue with his healing because it had been performed on the Sabbath. He had Jesus, of course, didn't respect their laws. So they rejected him. They refused to believe in him. And they threw the man who'd been healed out of the synagogue because he professed faith in Jesus. But when Jesus found him and revealed to him that he was the Christ, the man believed in Jesus and he worshiped him. The Good Shepherd was his open door. But he was a closed door to those who were rejecting him. Think of it about this way. You remember the story about Noah and the ark? When the rain started to fall, Noah and his family get onto the ark. And they're huddling inside there. And before the waters get too high, God closes the door of that ark. It is by God, the hand of God, that closes the door. And as the door shuts, the rain that fell for God's judgment of the earth was also kept outside. For Noah and his family, who had faith and believed God, that door provided protection. Protection from the wind and the waves that rose up. Protection from the waters, from the flood that brought judgment upon the earth. But for the people who refused to believe, that door was judgment. That door shut them away from salvation, from being delivered from death. The door was a blessing. You see, the door, it closed and provided protection for Noah and his family. And then when God opened the door, it showed God's blessings on the earth. The door was shut for those who didn't believe. They perished. It's the very same door. It's the same door. But the door is received much differently depending on which side of the door you're on. The same, of course, can be said for Jesus. Those who believe in him and what he did for us when he laid down his life for his sheep, those who believe are on the inside of the door. For us, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us. He knows us. He loves us. And likewise, we know him and we follow him. We know the sound of his voice and follow where he leads. But for those who did not believe in Jesus, he's a harsh judge. You see, they're blind and they're not able to see his goodness and his mercy. They reject him, and they reject him and those who believe in him. The formerly blind man was actually put out of the synagogue because he confessed faith in Jesus. Can you imagine if you had been excommunicated from this church because you confessed that you believed in Jesus? That's essentially what happened to this man who had been blind from birth. Because of his faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who lays down his life for the sheep, who healed him, he's put out of church. I mean, it even got so far where Peter and John are arrested for teaching and healing in the name of Jesus. By your fruits you will know them. Who are the false shepherds here? Is it James or is it Peter and John? Or is it those who would arrest them for preaching, for proclaiming his name and healing in his name? Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same for you and me. It absolutely is. As we go in and as we go out and follow Jesus, hearing his word and recognizing his voice, following him to green pastures and living waters, being defended against wolves and thieves and hirelings, being gently prodded back to those green pastures and away from danger, you and I will receive Jesus, our Lord and Master, as our good shepherd. But since he's rejected by the outside world, they also reject us. They look on us as fools. They say, how can you ever believe in an invisible man in the sky? As if he would take away your pain, your suffering, your sin. The world is going to see us. And on the other side, will associate with us with God's judgment. See, that's the other part, is that if people on the outside will look on us and say, if there is a God, then why doesn't he take away suffering? Why doesn't he take away the pain and the hurt and all of the things that we have to go through? If there is a God, then he must be an evil God, not a good and gracious God, because he allows all this stuff to happen. See, they associate us with the judgment for sin, because sin has with it its judgment. I always have people one time or another asking me, why is there suffering in this world? And I say, well, because there's sin in this world. Sin brings judgment. And it's not as if a specific sin brings a specific judgment, but because there is sin, there will be judgment for that sin. Because, sin has entered this world, the world is broken. God never promised that we would have perfect and upright and lovely lives for the rest of our lives. In fact, he kind of told us the exact opposite. Said, consider it, or don't be surprised when sufferings come, Jesus tells us. He never promised us, it reminds me of that old song, I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. He never promised us that it would be sunshine and roses. The one thing he did promise us, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I am with you always to the very ends of the earth. That's what he promised. Because we have a shepherd who not only knows us and we know him, we have a shepherd who has suffered all the temptations we have suffered, who has suffered death worse than we could ever imagine for you and for me. So he knows what we're going through, and he's right there with us to the very end. And because he's there with us to the very end, and he doesn't let go of us, and he continues to keep us in his sheep pen, if you will, he will take us to be with him forever, to be with him where he is. So that's the thing. The world's going to associate us with the judgment of Jesus. They'll hate us, they'll try to silence us, just like the Jews did with Peter and John and the man that was born blind. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we are safe. Just like Noah was safe from the wind and the waves and the flood as the waters rose to destroy the earth, you and I are safe from God's judgment. And it's hard to believe, but it's merely because of what Jesus did for us. Just like Noah and his family were protected from the waters that rose to destroy the earth, we're protected from God's wrath. Just like sheep who are tucked away safely inside the sheepfold are protected from the dark of night and the wolves that lurk in the shadows, we're protected from Satan and all of his evil angels. We're safe inside his church, where God feeds and nourishes us. We hear his voice as it's brought to you through his word. We drink his living water that flows from his font, and we eat the food that he's prepared at his banquet table, bread and wine that is body and blood that offers you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It's an amazing thing that Jesus does for us. You remember that the game show Let's Make a Deal? I always, that's one of those things. The contestants, of course, are given some prize. They're given it, and they're given the opportunity to trade it for whatever's behind door number one, or door number two, or door number three. I don't know why it was always three doors, but that's the way it was. They could trade the prize. They could, and it was exciting and entertaining because you never knew if the prize that was behind the door was, a new car or a great vacation or something like that, or whether it was, the booby prize. Bom, 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 bom. You never knew what it was. Jesus, I'm sorry, just remembered that. Jesus, the door of the sheep, actually stands at the door. And he beckons us in. He wants us. He tells us which door it is. He wants us to come and knock so that he can open that door for us. In our hands, of course, we hold all the prizes that are available to us on this world. The world in all of its glory. We're tempted with that theory that says, of course, the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. We're tempted to reject Jesus and deny his gifts. But behind that door, on the other side of that door, lies heaven and all of its glory. On the other side of that door, all of the blessings of God Almighty come to you and to me. Because we have the Good Shepherd who has died for his sheep, who has laid down his life for us and has taken up his life again, so that we can have all of those riches behind that door. So Jesus beckons us. He says, come, enter through the door. That is Jesus, your good shepherd, who is waiting for you. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together the offertory, the Create in Me a Clean Heart.